Welcome back to the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. Hour number three of the program. I am Brady Cannon live from the Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook. My partner Wes Reynolds is in fabulous downtown Las Vegas inside the VSiN studios at the Circa Resort and Casino. Happy summer solstice, and what a better way to celebrate the longest day of the year. Father's Day, U.S. Open Golf, College World Series Baseball, a couple of NBA playoff games, including a Game 7. Just a fantastic day to be a sports fan and a sports bettor. And we want to bring in a fantastic guest of the program, a longtime friend of the network of VSiN, and that is our buddy Stephen Hennessy. He is the deputy managing editor at Golf Digest, and you can follow him on Twitter @S_HennessyGD. And Stephen, welcome back to the program. Thank you for joining us. And I know we're pulling you away from what has absolutely become an incredible leaderboard here at the 121st United States Open at Torrey Pines Golf Course. Bryson DeChambeau, Rory McIlroy, Russell Henley, Louis Oosthuizen, all in the lead, tied for the lead at 4 under par. Right behind them, Paul Casey making a move at 3 under par on his round through 10 holes, his second straight day of going low. Paul Casey there at 3 under, along with Colin Morikawa, Matthew Wolf, John Rahm, and Mackenzie Hughes. I mean, a good 10, 12 players deep here across the top of the leaderboard, Stephen. And it looks like, Wes and I were talking about this earlier, if this pace continues, we might have a playoff on our hands, my friend.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Brady. Thanks, Wes. This is great. It was kind of a lame and a boring couple days at Torrey Pines. I don't know if you guys agree with that, but this is, you know, they ramped it up. And, you know, we know in 2008 how great Sunday was at Torrey Pines. And then we were fortunate enough to have the Monday playoff, the Fracco Immediate and Tiger. So I'm kind of hoping, or I'm kind of wishing that we would have that 18-hole playoff, because we could have, you know, Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau against each other, you know, one of these other great names. But, yeah, it's going to be exciting up till the end with all these phenomenal players up near the lead. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, and to your point, Stephen, I was having this discussion on social media earlier today. And look, I agree with some of the criticisms of this course of Torrey Pines, the fact that, you know, it lacks a little bit of imagination. Some of these holes on this Rees Jones redesign, a little bit, you know, the same. You really, rough is really the main defense of this course, per se. You don't really have a lot of water, despite the fact that it's a seaside course. But yet, and I mentioned I was conflicted, because I think all those criticisms are valid here of this site for a U.S. Open venue. But then when you look and you got Rory McIlroy, Bryson, Louis Oosthuizen, John Rahm, Colin Morikawa, Brooks Koepka, Paul Casey, these are stars of stars. And you've also got a couple guys that, you know, are trying to get their breakthrough, like Russell Henley, like Mackenzie Hughes, Guido Migliozzi, also trying to post a number here, 2 under through 16. So if he can get in with a birdie or two, he might be a factor in this thing. But we've got a great leaderboard. We've got what we want, despite the criticisms of this course.
Yeah, that's been one of the hot topics on social media the last couple of days is, you know, Torrey Pines, is this, you know, I think it comes down to people who are real course nerds. You know, they think Torrey Pines should be a lot better of a design because it's right on the water, and it tends to be just these little dog legs to the left, dog leg right, with fairway bunkers. Every hole, you know, they're not too memorable. So, and, you know, I'm kind of in that camp. I help oversee our course rankings at Golf Digest. So, you know, I like to break all that stuff down. But really, like you mentioned, you know, we have a stacked leaderboard, and I think, you know, the course has been set up very fairly, and because of that, we're having a lot of parity at the top of the board. No one's really been able to separate themselves because it's been just a great course set up by the USGA. For all the criticisms, you know, at the past U.S. Opens of the last 3 or 4 years or so, it really seems like they got this one right. There's been no criticisms by the players. So, and yeah, I mean, what we're seeing, and gosh, you guys are watching. You saw Bryson DeChambeau almost just hole out here
to about 3 inches.
He's about to take the lead. So we're getting some fireworks, and we're not even on the back nine yet. So I think by all accounts, it's going to be a successful week when we look back at it.
Yeah, Bryson DeChambeau misses a hole-in-one on the par 3 eighth hole by literally about an inch or an inch and a half, and he'll tap that in to go to 5 under par for the championship, and he will be in the lead, but it might not be too long-lasting that he has that lead by himself, because Rory McIlroy has stuffed one in pretty tight on the seventh hole as well. He's probably got about 8 to 10 feet looking at for birdie, and that would move him to 5 under par for the championship as well. Stephen, from a betting standpoint, Bryson DeChambeau obviously has moved into the position of the favorite with that tap-in birdie upcoming on the eighth hole. He's at 2-1. McIlroy closely followed at +225. John Rahm at 8-1, along with Louis Oosthuizen. John Rahm at 3 under par. Louis Oosthuizen at 4 under par for the championship. And then you've got Paul Casey at 30-1. This guy's still got 8 holes left to play. This guy will likely be the first one with an opportunity to post a number here. Anybody look attractive to you on the live wagering board, Stephen?
Yeah, I think Paul Casey's a great option. You know, he's someone looking for his first major. He has the opportunity here to post the number. You know, he's got a couple par fives ahead of him, so he could easily post 5 under, and, you know, that's going to be tough. You know, Bryson and Rory are going to get to 5, but, you know, they have some tough holes upcoming, 10, 11, 12. Been a gauntlet this week. So I think if you post 5, that's going to be, you know, that might be good enough for a playoff. I think Matthew Wolf is interesting too. I'm seeing him here at DraftKings in New Jersey at 33-1. And again, he's got these par fives left. He has the firepower to reach them. So his putter, I think his putter's been very streaky. I mean, that's in his career, but especially this week, he made the 8 birdies in the first round. So, you know, you could see him getting hot in this back nine here, and 33-1, you know, I think is a great number for Wolf. But, you know, people's eyes are going to be attracted to the top of the leaderboard. There's not much value left there, except maybe Russell Henley. He's, you know, just one back, and I'm seeing like a 28-1 on Russell Henley, and his iron play has kept him, you know, at the top of this leaderboard the entire time. So this is the best number you could catch on Henley, really, since Thursday.
And we'll update these prices really quick here from BetMGM. Bryson DeChambeau with that tap-in here is going to go to a 2-1 favorite and reach 5 under par. Rory McIlroy not behind him at +2.25. Louis Oosthuizen 8-1. Colin Morikawa 17-2. John Rahm now drifts up to his, basically his pre-tournament price at 11-1. He is still 2 back, has the par 5 ninth upcoming, so could gain a stroke there. Russell Henley 20-1. Matt Wolf 28-1. And really kind of wanted the discussion, Stephen, as we're seeing these guys that were in that final pairing, with the exception of Louis Oosthuizen, who's still tied for second. Russell Henley now 2 over on his round through 7. Matt Hughes, 3 birdies in the first 6 holes. Any chance did you see them maybe making something to get back in this thing, or is it kind of maybe what you expect when you have 2 players that have never really been contenders in majors, where it's like, okay, their hopes are going to be gone, kind of like what Richard Bland had happen to him yesterday?
Yeah, Mackenzie Hughes, I think this was an especially tough position for him. I mean, he's never really contended in a major, and he came in with such poor form that it was really a surprise to see him up here. And, you know, you look at all the stats and the metrics, he doesn't really pop in any of them, whereas Russell Henley, you know, he has a handful of PGA Tour wins. And stats-wise, his iron play, as I talked about, is top 5 on the PGA Tour. And I think this is a second-shot golf course, Torrey Pines. So I don't think he's out of it by any stretch. And I think he said 20-1 for Russell Henley at BetMGM. That, I think that's a nice number. He hasn't really faded too much. You know, he's hit a couple poor shots, but, you know, he doesn't look rattled or anything like that, whereas Mackenzie Hughes kind of looks like, you know, he's in over his head a little bit. This moment's a little too big for him.
Rory McIlroy misses his birdie putt on the seventh hole, and he is now teeing off on the par 3 eighth. That is the hole, of course, where Bryson just put it to about an inch and tapped in for a birdie to get to 5 under par for the championship. McIlroy's ball in the air. It's going to hit the green safely and just roll off onto the fringe. He'll have a birdie opportunity from about 30 feet probably to tie DeChambeau there at 5 under par. Stephen Hennessy is our guest. He is the deputy managing editor of Golf Digest. And again, You can follow him on Twitter at @S_HennesseyGD. And Stephen, earlier in the conversation, we were kind of talking about people's reactions to this golf course. I would like to see it maybe have just a little bit more of an edge, maybe if the greens were a little firmer, but that's part of the weather too, and you can't necessarily control that. But otherwise, I really think that the championship has been great. I like it when we can see opportunities for a birdie or even an eagle, but you know, just the slightest hiccup and you can make double in a heartbeat. I like it when there's that fine line, but there are scoring opportunities. What do you think Mike Davis and the USGA are feeling about this championship? We so often hear that they like to have the winner finish at even par or even maybe over par. What do you think their thoughts are here with the leaders at 5 under?
Yeah, I think they, you know, they set it up a little easier on Thursday. We saw those lower scores. And really, since then, it's played pretty difficult. Overall, no one, like I said, no one has separated themselves. And I think the USGA has kind of progressed from that attitude that, you know, they used to want to kind of punish the player a little bit. There's definitely that stigma. But I think, you know, there was a lot of pushback from tour players. Obviously, we had Shinnecock when the course kind of got away from him the last two times we were at Shinnecock. Aaron Hills, I mean, Chambers Bay was bad. So I think the USGA has kind of taken all that player feedback, and, you know, they kind of know. And you know what? The PGA Championship, too, has really elevated itself in terms of status. So I think the USGA kind of has realized that they have to compete and make this championship really one that the players enjoy playing in. There was so much negative feedback from the players. And I think what they've done is, you know, they've created the championship now where they don't really care if the score is a little under par. You know, they're still rewarding good shots. The course is rewarding good shots. The greens aren't, you know, pushed to the edge or anything like that. They're letting the players kind of, you know, entertain. And that's what we're seeing today with some really tough pins. You know, I think that's a big defense today. There's a handful of these pins are right on the edge of these greens. So, you know, it's going to reward good shots, but what it's also going to do is penalize anyone who, you know, goes for a pin, comes up short, rolls all the way down. So you're really gonna have to hang on for dear life coming down the stretch. So I don't think they mind a bunch of scores being under par right now because they're seeing what we're seeing, just a packed leaderboard with great names. And I think they've now realized that that's what people want to see.
And really quick, we not only have an exciting 121st U.S. Open, we've got Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals, all tied at 93 through three quarters. The shot-making of Paul George and Devin Booker has been basically incredible in this game. And right now, Phoenix Suns -2.5 on the in-play here at BetMGM, 242.5, -150 on the money line for the Suns. If you want the Clippers, +125, very small underdog. Should be a very entertaining fourth quarter. But back to this very entertaining U.S. Open, Stephen, what would you like to see in terms of like the criticisms that we've levied on this course? What would you like to see, or what would be your suggestion in terms of, you know, kind of getting it to, I guess, its most pure U.S. Open? Because it seems like, you know what, the rough is always going to be there, but the rough almost anymore is not a defense necessarily for these players. Look, the ultimate bomb and gouger is now atop the leaderboard all by his lonesome, 5 under par through 8 holes. Bryson trying to go back to back here. What defenses do you think that the USGA can really kind of incorporate here besides just having thick rough?
Yeah, you make a great point, Wes. The rough, as we saw last year too at Wingfoot, you know, was not a deterrent to Bryson DeChambeau, and that was a big storyline coming into this week. You know, what can the USGA do? Because we now know that the elite distance, what that really does is allow guys like Bryson to chop it out of the rough on their approach shots. That's that real advantage. So I think really, you know, it's firm and fast conditions are always going to test the best players in the world. It's going to test everybody. But, you know, when you have these narrow fairways with a ton of rough, it's gonna give an advantage to the player who could really hack it out of there the best. Whereas if you have more fairway width, you know, it kind of allows for more shot making. A venue like Torrey Pines doesn't really allow that, to be honest, because, you know, the corridors are just kind of narrow as they are. That's how the holes are built. That's how this place has been, you know, that's how it was constructed 60, 70 years ago when the course was built. So, and I've heard a lot of talk this week about, you know, should there be a U.S. Open rota of just like three or four courses, kind of like the British Open, that, you know, we always go to Oakmont, we always go to Shinnecock, the courses that we deem worthy of holding our, you know, our nation's championship, which, you know, I could see an advantage to that. But you know what? I also like that this course goes to a municipal course that you and I could go play, you know, next week, and it's only going to cost us $150 or whatever it is. And I like the fact that the USGA has gotten to that, obviously starting at Bethpage in 2002. It went to Chambers Bay, it went to Erin Hills, and you know, you could criticize the way those championships were run, but I like that kind of flavor of Americana that this championship has gotten back. So, you know, even though I like Oakmont, you know, test that it brings, and I love Shinnecock, I like that flair for the public courses, so I don't mind that this week at all.
All right, Mr. Hennessy, great to catch up with you as always, and thank you for coming on. Happy Father's Day and Summer Solstice Day to you. I'm sure we'll talk to you again down the road, and enjoy the final nine holes of the championship here, buddy.
Yeah, you guys too. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, that is Stephen Hennessy of Golf Digest, a great contributor here on the network, and comes on quite a bit with us, and we thank him for taking time out on his Sunday. We'll be right back. We got to take a time out. It is the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. Welcome back to the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you on a Sunday. And what a Sunday it is. Happy Father's Day. Summer solstice, the longest day of the year. The United States Open. The leaders are almost to the back nine. Louis Oosthuizen just missed a long birdie putt that would have got him back into a tie for the lead. Currently being held by Bryson DeChambeau. Just a stroke back. Rory McIlroy. John Rahm nearly had a tee shot go out of bounds on the ninth hole. He makes a great recovery, and now he's got a look from about 3.5 feet for birdie to get to 4 under par for the championship. This thing really getting crazy here at Torrey Pines in La Jolla, California. And I tell you what, the basketball game getting pretty crazy as well, Wes. Right now, the Phoenix Suns, and we've talked about it. This thing has been back and forth, tied lead changes from the very outset of this ball game, game one of the Western Conference Finals in Phoenix. Right now, 103-95, an 8-point advantage for the Suns, starting to pull away. Finally, one team really hasn't pulled away the entire contest. Still 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter, but a good size advantage for Phoenix. And as far as the in-game wagering, they have now moved to 7.5-point favorites.
Suns took advantage of Paul George being on the bench, trying to get him just a brief rest where he doesn't have to go 48 minutes. So Phoenix now 103-95 here. 9:05 left to go in the fourth quarter. Phoenix, an 8-0 run, outscored the LA Clippers 10-2 here. So you got to think, okay, they're going to have to get Paul George. They just can't sit him and let this game get away from him. Paul George leading the Clippers now with 33 points. Devin Booker on the other side with 34. Just some ridiculous shots have been made. I know we've been focusing on the golf and a lot of other things, but this game has been absolutely as good as advertised. But now the Clippers and Ty Lue going to try to figure out how to not let this get away from them. We saw somebody, and we kind of mentioned that somebody for the Clippers is going to have to step up and score. We know that Paul George, you got to assume, okay, he's going to give you what he gives you, and he's going to give you good numbers, and he has done just that here. 7 3-pointers, 33 points. Reggie Jackson with 20 points. So somebody needs to be that second scorer. A very much a down game for Marcus Morris, only 3 of 11 for 6 points. Batum's only giving you 2. Terrence Mann, we said, probably wasn't going to duplicate that performance where he had 39 in game 6 against the Jazz. Only 6 points for Terrence Mann. Fortunately for the Clippers, DeMarcus Cousins did give him 11 points in the first half, but you can see really what's going on here. And Zubac has played more in the second half as well with 9 points and 3 rebounds. So they got to get something out of these big guys and try to exploit, especially when Saric is in the game on the Phoenix side and when DeAndre Ayton goes to the bench, because they're going to have a tough time guarding DeAndre Ayton any way you slice it, whether you go small or whether you play Cousins or whether you play Zubac. And by the way, 18.7 rebounds in 30 minutes a day. So maybe you just have to go small, and it's just like, okay, take advantage when he's on the bench and then try to hold our own with this small lineup. But right now, Phoenix out to an 8-point lead.
And Wes, I want to update the leaderboard at the United States Open. Rory McIlroy right now has dropped back down to 3 under par for the championship. He's got a putt for birdie to get it back to 4 under, and this is trickling, and it is going to drop. So a huge shot there for
this
Rory.
This is a replay, I think, Brady.
That's a
though.
Replay.
They tricked us. They keep going back.
They
it's
sure
like,
did.
Show
I thought
the
he made
live
another
shots,
bomb.
Guys. We don't need the replay here. We have got 4 of the top 11 players in the world in terms of the world golf rankings.
I was just going to say that. Look at those names. Your top 6 names on the leaderboard, absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I haven't even included Brooks Koepka. Make that 5 of 11
yeah.
because he just birdied. So DeChambeau, Morikawa, McIlroy, Koepka, and also John Rahm, who looks like he's going to get to about 4 under with a 3-foot birdie here on the par 5 ninth. 5 of the top 11 in the world are right there. Let me look at these updated prices here at BetMGM. Bryson DeChambeau, 2-1, your current favorite. Rory McIlroy, 7-2. John Rahm at 11-2, plus 550, as is Louis Oosthuizen. Then Colin Morikawa, 6-1. Brooks Koepka, 20-1. He's a few groups ahead of these guys. He is through 13 holes and at 3 under par. So at least he's the early front runner to maybe post a number out about 4, 5, 6 groups ahead of these leaders.
Wes, you remember we were talking about Paul Casey, who had it going once again. He went really low on Saturday. I believe he shot a 67 on Saturday, and he was 3 under par through 10 holes on his round today and was just 2 shots off the lead. Well, I'm not sure what he did, but he has certainly run into a struggle here. Now through 12 holes, he's back to even par. He's given 3 shots back and now into a tie for 16th is Paul Casey. What just happened in the basketball game? I'm hearing the fans yelling here at the Mandalay Bay.
Probably some Phoenix Suns backers, because they now have a 10-point lead here and they're on a 10-0 run over the last 3 minutes.
All right. Still 7.5-point favorites in the live wagering market. We'll come update the U.S. Open when we come back. By the way, John Rahm does convert for a birdie, just 1 shot off the lead with 9 holes left to play for his championship. It's the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. We have a new feature here at VSiN.com. Every day we're posting the latest betting splits on every game in major sports with current odds and what percentage of the bets and money are being placed on each contest. Check out this info daily to find out which games are seeing the most tickets written and if that matches the money coming in on those games to help you find a betting edge. And of course, we have all the odds, data, and analysis for every game as well. Start your next sports bet at VSiN.com. And start your Sunday here with the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you on a happy Father's Day to everyone out there tuning in. Also, the summer solstice, the longest day of the year, and the U.S. Open, the final round, the College World Series. Want to get you updated on that leaderboard out at Torrey Pines. And Wes, you and I were talking off air. Brooks Koepka in some trouble. I believe that is his 14th hole, his approach into the green there. And let me just check this on Koepka here. I don't know if you're seeing where he stands on the leaderboard.
3 under there currently. Yeah, he's 2 back through 13. He's on the 14th. Going to have a tough up and down there for par. He has drifted out to 22-1. Kind of a couple guys on the periphery hanging on really here in the live market. That being Brooks and Matt Hughes, who did birdie at 8 to get the 3 under. He is 33-1. He needed that birdie, or he was about to get relegated to Peacock on the coverage where they really weren't going to be able to show him, because now we're starting to get the big kids, Brady. We're starting to get some separation, at least on this odds board, with Bryson DeChambeau at 2-1, Rory McIlroy at +340, John Rahm at 9-2, Morikawa at 6-1, Louis still right there, of course, at 13-2, +650, and then you drop down to Brooks at 22-1. So obviously, if he gets up and down, his odds are going to shorten here, but we are definitely starting to get to the big players here down the stretch.
I think he did get up and down, and that's where I was a little confused.
He does. They haven't showed it, I don't think, yet, but he does get up and down. So 3 under through 14 holes. He is 3 under for the championship. Also 3 under on his round today. But still, being that he's about 5 holes and several groups ahead of these leaders that we're watching right now, so he's going to have to, you know, probably make at least another 1 or 2 coming in here based on what these leaders are doing.
Yeah, might need an eagle at the 18th hole. Brooks Koepka there, again, 3 under par for the championship with only 4 holes left to play. Currently, DeChambeau, your leader, in first place by himself at 5 under par. He is playing the 9th hole currently and now putting for birdie on the 9th, and he doesn't like it. This is going to run past the hole. Looks like he'll have about, well, maybe 5 feet coming back for his par. Let's call it 4 feet for Bryson DeChambeau to clean up a par there and remain at 5 under par for the championship. Colin Morikawa, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, and Louis Oosthuizen all at 4 under par. And I thought what Stephen Hennessy said, Wes, was really great, where he said the USGA has received that pressure from these players about the Shinnecocks of the past and the Erin Hills where the wind didn't blow. And, you know, I think they kind of acquiesced and said, you know what, we have competition. The PGA Championship has become incredible in the last decade, where, you know, it was kind of that fourth major, if you will, and now it's become absolutely right there with the rest of them, and the prestige and the course setups that they have been doing for a while now, and the USGA kind of coming around and maybe getting away from that, punishing the players, and look what they've created here. And I know this course has received some criticism, you know, whatever. I mean, some people get a little bit picky, I think, but hey, mm-hmm. You can't argue with the product that it's producing here as far as your leaderboard.
No, the result has absolutely been spectacular. We finally finally saw that, Brooks Koepka's shot there on 14, hits the pin and stops about a foot short, so he'll have that tap in for par, and that will keep him at 3 under as Bryson tries to clean up here, and he does. He will maintain the lead now. Going to the back nine here on Sunday, 5 under par, a one-shot lead over McIlroy, Rahm, Morikawa, and Oosthuizen. And let's get a basketball update while we have a chance. 5 minutes left to go in the Valley of the Sun. Phoenix Suns 109-101 over the Los Angeles Clippers. Starting to get away from the Clips here a little bit. They're going to need some scoring down the stretch and really need to make a run here. And it's just, you can see Ty Lue, and I mentioned that throughout this program, Brady. He's kind of damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. It's like, do I leave the big in there? Do I leave either Cousins or Zubac in there and get picked apart on the pick and roll and then leave a bunch of wide open shooters for from 3-point range? Or do I go ahead and go small and let them attack me down low with DeAndre Ayton where you're just going to have to kind of give him those points when he gets positioned down low? So right now, looking at this score, 109-101, Devin Booker, 36 points, leads all scorers. Playoff P on the other side, 34 points for the Clippers, but Clippers going to need to make a run here, final 5 minutes.
John Rahm with his approach shot into the 10th green, and a good shot that's going to spin back away from the pin a little bit. Looks like he'll probably have about maybe less than 15 feet for a birdie there on the 10th hole. John Rahm just one shot off the lead at 4 under par. Some baseball updates here for you, Wes. 7-3, the Kansas City Royals topping the Boston Red Sox right now in the bottom of the 8th inning in Kansas City. This one is final in Houston, so the Cleveland Indians will pick up a game on the Chicago White Sox. Now just a 2.5 game lead for the White Sox in the American League Central as they fall to Houston 8-2. Your final there. The St. Louis Cardinals have knocked off the Atlanta Braves game one of their doubleheader. 9-1 your final there. The Chicago Cubs make it official over the Miami Marlins. 2-0, a shutout that stays well under the total there at Wrigley Field. The Minnesota Twins doubling up the Texas Rangers in Arlington. 4-2 right now in the bottom of the 9th inning. Texas is batting their final chance to extend this ball game. And the Colorado Rockies have extended the ball game with the Milwaukee Brewers. Milwaukee was out to a 5-0 lead in the 4th inning. We are now into the top of the 7th inning, and this is tied at 6 apiece. We remember early when Milwaukee broke out to that lead, this total in the in-game wagering got up to 14. It is now at 15.5 with a tie ball game at 6 apiece. And the basketball game you mentioned there, Wes, still at about the 4-minute mark, or rather the 4.5-minute mark, but Los Angeles is now trimmed into the lead here a little bit, 109-104, so just a 5-point advantage for the Phoenix Suns, and that is exactly what we have in the live wagering. Phoenix favored by 5.5. The total currently off the board as we are now at the 4.5-minute mark. Game one of the Western Conference Finals. Phoenix rebounds with a point, or a bucket rather, of their own. Now back to a 7-point lead for the Phoenix Suns, and back to 6.5-point favorites in the live market. Back to the U.S. Open leader board here, and the odds going into the final 9 holes for the better part of this leaderboard. Bryson DeChambeau, your favorite at 2-1. Rory McIlroy at +350. John Rahm at +450. Colin Morikawa at +550. And Louis Oosthuizen at +650. Boy, this is getting good. We'll be here for the next 15 minutes to report on what's going on in all of the world of sports, including the U.S. Open, Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals, and Major League Baseball on this Father's Day, right here inside the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Discover BetMGM, the king of sports books. Sign up today and win $100 if you place a $1 wager on any NBA playoff game and either team hits a three-pointer, regardless of your bet's outcome. Simply use the bonus code VSIN100 when you place your first bet. Enjoy the playoffs more than ever with BetMGM. It's a new customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, Washington, D.C., or West Virginia only. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. 1-800-270-7117 in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, 800-889-9789 and call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. The promotional offer is not available in Nevada. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you here inside the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. And I want to finish up that baseball scoreboard. We went to break with a few updates here. Let's get to a few more of the games that are in progress. The San Francisco Giants and their young lefty making his debut still in the game for the Giants. Wes Reynolds wins on his first five innings bet on San Francisco. 7-2 now as San Francisco tacks on another one in the bottom of the sixth inning. They lead the Philadelphia Phillies. The Detroit Tigers trying to upset the apple cart in Los Angeles there as big underdogs today. 3-1 currently as they are taking care of business over Dylan Bundy and company in the top of the fifth inning. San Diego out to a 3-0 lead over the Cincinnati Reds trying to pull off the sweep there at Petco. 3-0 in the top of the fifth inning. Padres lead the Reds and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Boy, life is really tough for the Arizona Diamondbacks right now. 7-1 in the top of the fifth inning down in Arizona. I mean, this game is halfway through and there's already a 6-1 advantage, or excuse me, a 6-run advantage for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Well, it's a good thing for the Phoenix Suns. It's a good thing for that town. Yeah. They have the Suns playing right now. By the way, in the final minute here in the Valley of the Sun, 116-111, Phoenix is your leader. Is Devin Booker going to try to add more? Fadeaway jumper, no good. Devin Booker messed around and got a triple-double so far this afternoon, but Clippers very much live. Playoff P short from three, so Clippers here down five, just under 40 seconds left to go, and we shall see. That is no good. So Phoenix giving up a lot of offensive rebounds here down the stretch, but they actually did have a 10-point lead, and Clippers have now cut it in half. So Terrence Mann now drains a three, 22 seconds left to go. Phoenix got to think they're going to take a timeout on the floor here. Two timeouts left to go. Inbound the ball at half court. Now 116-114. I was seeing tweets all up and down my tweet deck feed, Brady, of, okay, dagger, this is over. Not yet, just yet. Terrence Mann, a big three here. So 22 seconds left to go in Phoenix. 116-114. Game one, Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, no doubt. This all of a sudden became extremely exciting here in the final seconds between the Suns and the Los Angeles Clippers. John Rahm makes a par on the 10th hole to remain at 4-under par for the championship. He tees off on number 11, and it looks like he has found a bunker. I believe that is a par 3, a very long par 3, so he'll need to get up and down out of the sand there to maintain a just one-shot deficit off of the lead being currently held by Bryson DeChambeau. The final baseball game to update here in Seattle, the Tampa Bay Rays and the Seattle Mariners tied at one run apiece, and the total in-game has dipped down to just 5 in the live wagering, and the under is favored at minus 125. Now, Wes, about an hour and 15 minutes from now, we have Game 2 down in Omaha, day two and Game 2 of the College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska, but earlier today, Virginia pulled it off as an underdog and shut out Tennessee.
Yeah, and they advance to the winner's bracket on Tuesday, and they'll play the winner of that Mississippi State and Texas matchup that's about a little over an hour and 15 minutes away from getting started in Omaha. Obviously, the two losers play in the loser's bracket, and then that becomes an elimination game. This is double elimination, as it always is in Omaha for the College World Series. So Mississippi State, Texas, getting to a point where I think the price is really attractive here on Mississippi State. And look, I know that they play in been more of a hitter's park, so that inflates their numbers. But this pitching staff's pretty darn good. I mentioned earlier, Mississippi State leads the nation in strikeouts per nine innings. Very loaded staff in terms of a starting rotation. Also, they've got the best closer in all of college baseball remaining here in these final eight teams in Omaha. Landon Sims is the man's name. Has faced 139 batters this season and has struck out 85 of them. That's a pretty good percentage for a closer with Landon Sims. Putting up like a Kimbrel or a Roldis Chapman type of numbers as a closer, striking out all these guys. But yeah, I do like Mississippi State here, starting to get north, and I think you wait on the price. Maybe Texas is going to get some late money here. 130, 135, or 140 would be great to take on Mississippi State. And it looks like the Phoenix Suns are going to close out. Spread very much in play here as Phoenix gets a basket. Clippers don't convert. Now Devin Booker sent to the line. 4.6 left to go. First foul shot is good. It is now a 5-point lead. So remember that this game did close at 4, pretty much market wide. So Clippers going to have one chance to get inside the number as Devin Booker with that triple-double here in the playoffs. First since Steve Nash in 2005. So second foul shot good. Clippers just going to go ahead and inbound and see if they can get a 3 off here. So I'm just going to judge by the reaction. Ball is stolen. Phoenix Suns will get the win, lead 1-0 in the series. Also get the cover here in game one, 120 to 114, your final.
Yeah, Phoenix Suns with the win and the cover, and the game goes over the total. And Wes, you and I didn't really know where to go on this game, but boy, I think we have our answer. The Phoenix Suns were able to handle life without Chris Paul in this game. That was a pretty special performance and a great basketball game. If the rest of this series is that entertaining, we're in for a wild ride. Let's talk about Game 7 coming up a little later this evening between the Atlanta Hawks and the Philadelphia 76ers. You got to always love it, no matter what, when you have Game 7. And earlier this morning, we saw the Atlanta Hawks take some money. Philadelphia was a 7-point favorite. It got knocked down to 6.5 pretty much everywhere across the board. Very few 6.5s in the market now. Here at BetMGM, the Philadelphia 76ers are 7-point favorites, and there's even a couple of 7.5s around town. So Philly taking some later money here. We've still got about 2 hours before this game will tip off. Your total has really kind of come crashing down now, currently here at 215 at BetMGM. Your thoughts on this one for Game 7 in Philadelphia, Wes?
Well, we know that Game 7s usually are more predicated to the under historically, even though you had it go over last night between Milwaukee and Brooklyn. So that's no surprise to see this get bet under a little bit from 216.5 to 215. If I were going to lay the spread, I would lay Philadelphia here in the spot. Atlanta has that look of that casual better dog saying that's a lot of points, but yet that's too many points necessarily for me to lay. So what I ended up doing is just doing a money line parlay, just a two-teamer here with the 76ers and also the Vegas Golden Knights. I do believe that this is Philadelphia's spot to bounce back as Bryson DeChambeau misses his birdie. Brooks Koepka does not on the 15th hole, so now Brooks Koepka has joined the party, by the way, at 4 under par. So now we have a 5-way tie for second behind the ultimate bomb and gouger and the leader trying to defend his U.S. Open title, Bryson DeChambeau, now 5 under through 10. But anyway, back to game number 7 between Philadelphia and Atlanta tonight. What we've seen basically is that Philadelphia, I think if you watch this series, they've been the better team throughout the series. Their defense has absolutely, I think, kind of boggled Atlanta Hawks, really. Trae Young's still getting his. He's an elite player and he's a great player in this league. But Bogdanovich and Collins have been very much in and out. And they have to be in tonight if Atlanta is going to have a chance to win in Philadelphia. They have to be productive. John Collins in the wins, I believe, averaging about 18 a game, but in the losses, only averaging about 12.5. Bogdanovich has had some disappearing acts from time to time. So you really get worried, I think, if you're Atlanta, that can Trae Young, he carried him against the Knicks, can he do so in a game 7 on the road against Philadelphia? But Philadelphia has been erratic. Their stars have pulled the disappearing act in the second half. We remember Joel Embiid in game 5 with that 0 of 12 shooting from the floor in the second half. So you got to expect that Embiid, and by the way, he did make it official he was going to go, as if we didn't realize that he was going to do a load management game here in game 7 of the Eastern Conference semifinals. No thank you to that. So somebody's got to step up along to Joel Embiid as well, and it was Tobias Harris in game 6 down in the ATL on Friday night. So they're going going to need a little bit more of that. Simmons, you know, he's going to be hit or miss offensively. So Tobias Harris, probably the guy that you would expect to be the most consistent if you're looking at any of those props that are out there. And who knows who's going to be that guy off the bench. Philadelphia has had a couple guys off the bench that have stepped up in big games this series. It was Shake Milton earlier on. And then in game six, it was Tyrese Maxey, the 2020 first round pick out of University of Kentucky. So somebody is going to have to step up, though, and kind of carry it for Joel Embiid. But I think Embiid, at this point, he's got his big boy pants on. He's going to know that, hey, I got to carry these guys. I got to be great if we're going to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals, where the Milwaukee Bucks are going to be waiting. They did win that Game 7 last night in overtime. So Philadelphia, I think, is the right side here. I don't know if 7 is necessarily the right number. So that's why I went that money line parlay route.
Colin Morikawa knocks in a long par save, probably from about 12 feet, to remain at 4 under par. Mackenzie Hughes and Louis Oosthuizen both birdie the ninth hole. That gets Hughes into the log jam in second place at 4 under par, and it gets Louis Oosthuizen back into the lead, tied with Bryson DeChambeau in the 121st United States Open, going down at Torrey Pines Golf Course in La Jolla, California. What a leaderboard it is. And with the changes there for Mackenzie Morikawa and Oosthuizen, DeChambeau still your favorite, but up to +275. Louis now at 4-1. Colin Morikawa at +550. John Rahm at 6-1. He's going to have about 3 feet on the 11th hole. He did extricate his ball from the sand trap there to about 3 feet. He's got a par putt now to remain at 4 under par. He knocks that in. He goes to the 12th hole, one shot off the lead. Rory McIlroy at 7-1 to win the U.S. Open. Boy, Wes, I tell you what, I don't know if I want to keep talking about this thing, but we got to go.
But we got to keep watching.
Oh, man, I'm not going to miss a second of this. What a golf tournament. Thank you for tuning in to the Green Zone, everybody, presented by BetMGM. Next up, it is the VSiN Bet Center right here on the Sports Betting Network. Happy Father's Day, everybody.